Let us get rolling. So our Gemara is focused on the opening word of the Masechta. What is Or? Or Larbaasar. Does that mean the evening of the 14th? What we usually assume is the time for Bedikas Chametz. That was the position of Rav Yehuda in the opening lines of the Gemara. Or does Or mean the dawn, which is a position of Rav Huna in the opening line of the Gemara? Rav Huna said Naghi. That's how the Gemara initially understands, and he thinks literally Or Larbaasar means the morning. And after all, light. The word Or means light. That's the other meaning of the word Or. Right? That's what we saw in the opening lines of the Gemara that we dealt with before Yom Tov. The Gemara had clarified that, of course, there are two meanings to the word Or. If you look up Or in the dictionary, there would be definition number one and definition number two. And no one disagrees. Everyone agrees that the word Or means light. If you're talking about a thing, then that Or means light. But the other definition of R, in which it refers to a particular time, that's when the question is, when you're using the word R to mean a particular time of day, so do we mean early morning, or do we mean evening? Do we mean Nagi, or do we mean Leili? And that's the Machlokes, how you're supposed to interpret our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a time, obviously. Or Larbaasar is clearly meant to be a particular section of the 14th of Nisan. So to which one does it refer? So here we pick up the third Mesveh. The first Mesveh had been a Pasek deep into Chumash Bereishis, dealing with the Yosef and his brothers. The second Mesveh had been a Pasek in Sefer Shmuel, Ka'or Boker Yizrach Shamash. And now we come to last week's Parsha, to Parsha's Bereishis, and this is going to be the first time that we're going to begin to open up some halachic aspect to the Mesveh as well. So let's take a look. Mesveh, Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom. This is such a clear raya. In the first day of Bria, the very beginning of the first paragraph of Bereishis, Kadosh Baruch Hu creates light and he creates darkness. And now Kadosh Baruch Hu calls Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom. V'lachoshech kara laila. Or is referred to, is named Yom. Choshech is named night. So there you go. Alma or Yomamahu. The Gemara says, that's such an obvious right. It's black and white. It's just there in the psukim. The other name for Or is Yom. The other name for Choshech is Laila. That's what they're named. As the Rabbeinu David points out, throughout the opening parak and beyond in Bereishis, there's a lot of naming going on. Rabbeinu David says, look, Vayikra Elokim L'Rakia Shamayim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the atmosphere as we have it. The Rakia is that which is spread out, and then he names it Shamayim. So we're taking the R, he names the R Yom. So there you go. Two names for the same item. So what could be clearer than that? The Gemara says, Raya Machrachas, Alma Or Yomamahu. So the Gemara has two, there's several steps in the Shalach V'Tarya. So the first step back from this, the Gemara says, not so fast. Hachi Ka'amar, Lemeir Uba Kira'o Yom. The Gemara essentially says, well, along the lines of accessing the same idea we used in the previous Mesveh, maybe we're not using the word R in this pasuk to refer to a time. You know, Hashem called the R Yom. It sounds like we're referring to the time that's called R is also called day. But no, maybe it's referring to R in the sense of light. I mean, the light is day. Day is a time. Light is a thing. So the Gemara says, well, L'meir Uba, as it gets light and comes along. Rashi explains, Misha'a Shemaschil, near the end of the narrow lines in Rashi, Misha'a Shemaschil L'ha'ir, from the time that it gets light from the time that it gets light. Okay, in other words, as we were talking about earlier this morning, we were getting ready for Seder, the sun rises and the sun sets. Sunrise and sunset is when the sun is and isn't visible. Again, the earth revolves around the sun, and the earth revolves on its axis. And the earth revolves on its axis, and that's why it looks to us as though the sun is moving. So for purpose of simplicity, we talk about the sun rising and the sun setting, even though, technically speaking, it's really that we're turning away from the sun. Right? The sun turns on its axis every day, and that's why we see, it seems to us like the sun appears and disappears. But Lamasa, sunrise and sunset, means when the sun comes into sight, the sun pops over the horizon, now we can see, it's no longer blocked by the earth. That's sunrise in the morning. And sunset in the evening is when the sun drops below the horizon, below the extent of planet Earth. Now it's blocked by planet Earth, and now we can't see the sun. But it, as we were talking about earlier today, the light is not on a switch. It begins to get light long before we actually see the ball of the sun, and it remains somewhat light for quite a bit of time after the ball of the sun has disappeared because of refraction. The sun filters through, the sunlight filters through the atmosphere, and as it gets closer, and the sun, before sunrise, we get closer and closer to the sunrise, the sun's getting closer and closer to the horizon, more and more light is beginning to filter through, it gets brighter and brighter, until finally, sunrise, and now we have the full ball of the sun in sight and plenty of light. And the same on the other end, after sunset, it doesn't immediately go black. It's not like the light switch gets turned off and suddenly the whole room is pitch black. No. After sunset, it begins to get darker and darker, and the sun gets deeper and deeper below the horizon. Less and less sun is filtering through the atmosphere to us. Eventually, it's totally black. So the... So the Gemara says, l'meir uba kara yom, as it's getting light, that's what la'or kara yom, excuse me, the language of the pasuk was, v'yikra l'kim la'or yom. Kadosh Baruch Hu called the time when it's getting light day. That's how the Gemara is interpreted. L'meir uba. L'meir uba. But then the Gemara says, well, if we're defining when it's day, the day begins when it begins to get light, which is what we call Alos HaShachar, or Amud HaShachar, at dawn, at first light. So the Gemara says, well, you're going to run into a little bit of a problem. Elamayata v'lachoshach kara laila. How do you define that? V'lachoshach kara laila. If you're telling me that choshach is not a particular time, but instead, it's not the name of the time, means, or means when it's getting light, so choshech means when it's getting dark. When it begins to get dark, it's already nighttime. Is that true? The Gemara says, halachically, that's wrong. And this is the first time we hear halacha in the Gemara here in Daf Beis Amud Aleph with the terminology kaimalon. Kaimalon means we paskin. The hakaimalon, but we paskin. That it's al pi halacha, it's daytime until Seis HaKochavim, until the stars come out, a period of time after sunset, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, don't tell me that as soon as it starts to get dark, it's halachically night. It's not true. It might be true that as soon as it starts to get light, it's halachically daytime. L'me'iru ba'kar yom, that's true. As a matter of fact, those who learn Maseches Megillah, you may remember Mishnah, I think, is in Daf Chaf. Mishnah says that Mishnah talks about mitzvahs that apply during the day, mitzvahs that apply during the night, and the Mishnah says mitzvahs that apply specifically during the day, like shofar and lulav and mila, and so on and so forth. So the Mishnah says, ideally we wait to do those mitzvahs until sunrise, but your yotze anytime after Alos HaShachar. Anytime after Alos HaShachar, you're ready, yotze, because it's already daytime. Okay. But that's, the Gemara says, but it's not true on the other end. It doesn't become night halachically as soon as it begins to get dark. No. No, says the Gemara. Kaimalan, atesakul chavim yimamu. Until it gets dark enough that you can see the stars, which is a period of time after sunset. We'll get to the details soon in Masechta Shabbos. It's still daytime. So what's Pshat in our Gemara? What's Pshat in our Pasuk? Again, the Pasuk seems to say, V'akar lakim la'ar yom. Hashem called our yom. That sounds like explicitly talking about our machlokas, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda. R is also called day. There you go. So what does R mean? Not night, day. R larba asar means the day of the 14th. So that was the first interpretation. Right? So Gemara said, no. Don't ask Kashas and Rav Yehuda. I'll give you a second shot. R means l'meyer uba, as it gets light. But that doesn't work, because then what do you do with l'choshach kara laila? The Mishnah says, Gemara says, it's only nighttime. Apialacha once it says a kachavim. Not as soon as the darkening process begins. So then the Gemara says, you know what? We'll give you a third shot. A third shot. What's the third shot? Ela hachika amar. This is the pshat and pasuk. Pshat number three. Not pshat number one, which presented a problem for Rav Yehuda. Not pshat number two, which we had to throw out. Why? Because it's daytime until Tzeisak Kochavim. But finally, pshat number three. Hachika amar. Hachika amar. Karye rachamana l'nahora. Ribbono shel olam. Rachamana is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called the Nahora, called the light. Ufakte. And commanded it, pe kuf dalet, pakad, in Aramaic, is equivalent of tziva in Hebrew. As a matter of fact, the word for a mitzvah in the Zohar, pikuda, is how you say, Zohar is written in Aramaic, pikuda da is mitzvah zu. So pakde is tzivahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the light, the Nahora, ufakde, and he commanded it, a mitzvah sadiyimam, on the mitzvah of daytime. The kai rachman l'chashocha, Kadosh Baruch Hu called night, ufakte mitzvah sadelelia, called the darkness and commanded it the mitzvah of night. So what does that mean? So Rashi points out right away, what's pivoting from the second pshat to the third pshat is we're rethinking the definition not just of or, but of vayikra.
Yeah, it's called directly.
Right. Up until now we thought that vayikra here means to name. Vayikra Shemo Reuven. Right, but now we mean to call someone is to call your attention, to get your attention. So that's what Rashi says. Hai Vayikra, in the second word line, Lav Kriya Shemu, it's not a naming, then Tema, you say, Kara Shema Or Yom. He named the Or Yom, in which case, Or is referring to a time, and it's being renamed day. No. Kara Labriya Hameira, Kadosh Baruch Hu called to the light, the creature, the Kadosh Baruch Hu had created light. Shabara Mehod Ma'atel Levusho. Sounds a little Kabbalistic. Kadosh Baruch Hu had created light, and now he turns to light, not to the, again, as we began, and as we saw in the earlier Maseres, you can define the word R as two definitions. It refers to a certain time, either day or night, and it refers to light. That's what Rashi is explaining. Vayikra here means to call upon, not to name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called upon the light and gave it its marching orders. Daytime will be a time of light. So that solves the problem. Now, as an aside, and then we'll come back to the middle of the sugya. So in the Rav Shiurim, Rav Shechter's notes, the Rav Shiurim of Psachim, so Rav pointed out, it's interesting, what emerges of this is an interesting thing to think about. Well, what emerges of this Gemara is that the Gemara is clearly assuming, particularly the way Rashi presents it, that darkness is also a thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave commands to the light, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave commands to the darkness. That's interesting, because usually we think of darkness as just an absence of light. So what are we supposed to make of that? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu called, commanded the R, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'choshech kara laila, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu called upon darkness. So it could be, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to work this way. Yeah?
Could also mean that he called upon the light to be absent.
Could, okay, that's true. That's true. But then, L'choshech kara laila, we're the Gemara's understanding now that kara means he called upon, he called it. I mean, he called upon it. He addressed himself. Yom means HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressed himself to the R and said, your job is Yom. L'choshech kara laila means HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressed himself to darkness. Okay. Maybe philosophically or physically, you know, darkness is an absence of light in theory, but practically speaking, we do experience light and darkness. I would suggest also, if you look in, we talked about last week, if you look in Natan Aviezer's in the beginning, it talks about Or and Choshech, and Gerald Schroeder has something somewhat similar. If you understand that when that Big Bang Theory is number one science coming around after a couple of thousand years to noticing, to recognizing the truth of the first pasuk of Bereishis, namely that the universe as we know it as a physical entity governed by physics and chemistry and mathematics and framed within time and space, had a particular start point, A. B, the Big Bang Theory is also not only recognizing that the world experienced a Bria by something that stands outside of nature, a supernatural entity created the universe, otherwise known as God, but also Big Bang Theory also recognizes, is science recognizing the truth of the next few psukim of Chumash Bereishis, that the universe began as energy, as a very, very powerful point of energy. Ramban, I believe, quotes from Sifrei Kabbalah that I think it's in the first pasuk, either Paragalav Pasuk Aleph, Paragalav Pasuk Dalet. Ramban talks about how Kabbalistic traditions that the universe began as a nekuda, as a point, and it built out from there. Ramban wrote this down, put this on paper a good 800 years ago or so. And the psukim say it began as R, it began as light. And then everything else, as Rashi tells us, everything else sort of unpacks from there. So Big Bang Theory represents cosmologists finally recognizing the truth that's already in Bereishis. If you understand the R of the Yom Rishon that way, by the way, the R Hagdonas LaTzadikin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid it away. We no longer experience the raw power of the original energy of the Big Bang, because everything is spread and literally and figuratively gotten far more diffuse. But number one, ultimately, everything is through E equals MC squared. All matter that we experience is a transformed version of that original light. And there's also, as you know, background radiation, going back to Penzer and so on and so forth. So that perhaps is part of what's going on with the Or HaGanuz. Now, what's with the Choshech? In other words, Or HaGanuz means that the R is still there, but hiding. It's not as obvious. And what's with the Choshech? So Aviezer suggests, and I believe Schroeder makes a somewhat similar suggestion, that to explain the fact that things didn't stay uniform, so many posit, this is beyond our scope right now, and many posit an existence of dark matter. Very, very loosely speaking, if you would have been there, again, if you would have been there, you would vaporize, but if you would have been there, you wouldn't have just seen all blinding light, because there was very quickly, there were singularities and irregularities that very quickly developed into dark matter, which essentially was obscuring the light, so to speak. So that's the Choshech. That's what Aviezer suggests. So if you take that approach, so then the original darkness was actually a thing that was created. Darkness in our lives is not dark matter. Darkness in our lives is just, no, the light isn't here, an absence of light. But going back to the original Bria of Choshech, there was a thing. If you understand the psukim that way, So maybe that's the response to the Rav Zahara. Okay. But again, I think the Rav Zahara is something fascinating to think about. But at the same time, I want to circle back to the middle of the Shaka V'Tari. I want to circle back. So again, this is the third Meshe, and the Gemara said, Raya Brua, Raya Mechrachas, that when you use art to mean a period of time, it's clearly day. It's not the Feresh Apostle in last week's Parsha, the Feresh Apostle in Bereshus, the Ekralakim L'Ar Yom. So the first Dechia was maybe means as it gets light, it's already called day al pi halacha. The second dechia, the final maskana, was that Kadosh Baruch Hu kara in the other sense of Kadosh Baruch Hu called upon day, called upon light, not a period of time, but called upon light to serve during the yom, during the day, called upon choshech, darkness, to serve during the night. And what was the pivot again? Why did the Gemara pivot away from the first dechia? What was wrong with that? Because of the statement the Gemara made. What was the statement the Gemara made? A halachic statement. Right, the night starts to say it's a kachadim, and what was the exact language of the Gemara? V'al kai malon. What was the language of the Gemara? Al teis hakachavim yimamu. Up until teis hakachavim, after sunset, when it's beginning to get dark, it's still day until the stars, until it's dark until the stars come out. And the Gemara says it, Davar Pasha. It's day until Teis HaKacham. And that's the pivot, that hanacha, that premise the Gemara makes, which it absolutely does not push back on at all. The Gemara just makes that premise, is you're right, forget that pshat, we need a new pshat. That's the pivot point in the Shaka V'Tariya. And it's an incredibly surprising one, because if you open up Masechet Shabbos, or even just if you function as an Orthodox Jew, that doesn't seem to be the case at all. Is that really true? It's daytime until Teis HaKachavim? So riddle me this. So we try to have Hadlakas Neiris 18 minutes before, right? 18 minutes before what? Sunset, 18 minutes before Shkia. And that's Tosefa Shabbos. And of course, you all heard, Tosefa Shabbos, so sometimes you get stuck. Okay, sometimes you the ride in the car went a little longer than expected, whatever the case is. Emergency situation, you may have to go into your 18 minutes. But you absolutely have to stop Malacha before when?
Shkia.
Before Shkia. Before sunset. And ideally, at least a few minutes before Shkia, so you at least have, if not 18 minutes of Tosefa Shabbos, at least 3 minutes. Some Tosefa Shabbos, right? Rashi in last week's parasha. But I don't understand. I'm learning Masechet Pesachim. This year we're learning Masechet Pesachim Yeshiva. I learned Daf Beis, and it said, Ah, Teis HaKolchav Miyamamahu. Who needs to stop Malacha after sunset? Sunset. Man Dechar Shemei. Beferish, that was the whole point. Even after sunset, it's still... And the Gemara wanted to say, oh, maybe machshichu ba karalayla, maybe it's night as soon as it starts getting dark. The Gemara said, no, it's daytime until Teis HaKachavim. So what's wrong with driving your car 10 minutes after sunset? Disclaimer. Don't try this at home. It is true. In truth, you are not allowed to drive your car 10 minutes after sunset. And that comes from a Gemara on Shabbos. It is true that you're absolutely not allowed to drive your car 10 minutes after sunset. That's because of a Gemara on Shabbos. But it seems to fly in the face of this Gemara in Pesachim. Let's take a look at that Gemara on Shabbos. I know some of the language was confusing for some of you. But I'm glad that you got your feet wet. And let's take a look together. Gemara says, you know, I asked you the Maram Akamas to take a look at three segments of the Gemara. This is in Parag Ramem Adlikin. We're starting Lamed Dalam Beis. Parak Bamem Madlikin. The second parak of Masechta Shabbos is dedicated to those who daven Nusach Ashkenaz. Say these Mishnayos every week, and you know that the bulk of the Mishnayos, so the second parak of Shabbos, are dedicated to the halachas of Bamem Madlikin, halachas of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. So the Mishnayos talk a lot about what sorts of wicks you use, what sorts of fuel you use, what should you use to light. If you don't have a Gemara in front of you, feel free to just listen, or not. If you have a Gemara in front of you, certainly take a look inside. If you have a computer in front of you, feel free to bring up Lamed. It's in the links in Google Classroom material. Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. This is the Gemara you were looking at earlier this morning during Seder. The Gemara talks about, the Gemara opens, so again, so the Mishnayos talk a lot about Hadlakas Neir Shabbos in terms of what materials you use and other rules about lighting Neiros and putting out Neiros. But one of the major issues is when are you lighting Neir Shabbos? And that relates to a Mishnah near the end of the parak. The Mishnah talks about right before it gets dark, there's certain things, Gimel Dvarim, you have to do before it gets dark. So the Gemara starts to discuss, well, now, obviously, you have to light Neir Shabbos before you're not allowed to do Malacha. That's the whole concept of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. If you want to have light tonight, you got to light it when it's still Friday. So, how does that work? Here the Gemara says on top of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. If you don't have the Gemara feel, you just listen carefully. Because the way the Sugya opens on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis is with a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, as you know, is a language that the Gemara uses to introduce a freestanding brisa. If we're starting a new conversation, the same way a piece of a Mishnah could start a new Shachvatarya, so if we have a piece of a Mishnah here, start a new Shachvatarya, we'll just give that piece of a Mishnah with two dots and then get started. It's called a Pisca. If it's a Mishnah elsewhere that's starting a new Shachvatarya, the Gemara will introduce the Mishnah from elsewhere as Tanan Hasa. And if we're introducing a brisa, material from the Tanan that's not Mishnayos, that starts a new Shachvatarya, we use Tana Rabbanan. So here we go. Tana Rabbanan, Beis Yud Hei Shin, Bein HaShemashos, twilight, is Safik Min Hayom, Umin HaLayla, Safik Kulo Min Hayom, Safik Kulo Min HaLayla. It's a Safik whether it's day and night, or whether it's all day, or whether it's all night. The first thing the Braisa tells us is there's a period called Bein Hashmashos. Halacha recognizes twilight as a category, the twilight zone, and it is the twilight zone. And we're not really sure what it is. It might be day, it might be night, maybe it's some sort of mix of day and night. As a matter of fact, those of you who are learning to drive, you know that when you drive during twilight, in the time after sunset, it's actually the hardest time to drive. Because the light is sort of funny. It's not really dark, but it's not really light. Why? Because of the astronomy we discussed before. The sun's already set, so there's still some light from the sun filtering through the atmosphere, but not as much. It's not totally dark. It's not totally light. It's sort of twilight zone. It's Spanish rushes. It's somewhere in between. So the Bryce says it's not just a physical, astronomical reality. It also is a halachic reality. That during the time of Bein Hashmashos, al pi halacha, it might be day, or it might be night, or it might be part day and part night. Maybe part of Bein Hashmashos, that sounds like. Maybe part of Bein Hashmashos is day, and part of Bein Hashmashos is night. Right? So what Spicer sounds like it's saying is we have a period of time from X to Y, I don't know, from 6 to 6:30, from 5 to 7 o'clock, or whatever it is, some period of time is Bein Hashmashos, and we're not sure if it's all day until the end of Bein Hashmashos, or if it's all night, meaning night begins at the beginning of Bein Hashmashos, or maybe it's half and half, part and part. In other words, somewhere in this zone is the magic line, is the boundary between day and night. We're not really sure where. So before Bein Hashmashos, it's definitely day. After Bein Hashmashos, it's definitely night. During Bein Hashmashos, we're not really sure where we are. Is it still day? Is it already night? Who knows? Suffolk. That's the opening line of the Bryce. There's a time called Bein Hashmashos, and its status is maybe day, maybe night, maybe half and half, maybe part. And then the next task the Braisa has is, well, now that we told you what the halachic status of Beis HaShemashos is, we have to define when is it? Which chunk of time has this funny twilight status? So then the Braisa goes on to say, I'm sorry, one more line before we get into details. Matilo salachomer shayam. It's a suffix, so we have to be machmir in both directions. The chumra of both days. Right? Maybe it's yesterday, maybe it's tonight. So a baby is born, let's say, Tuesday evening during Beis HaShemashos. I was just talking to a Talmud last night. I was at the wedding of one Talmud, one BMK alumnus, and I went to the wedding of another BMK alumnus. And then on the way from one to the other, and then outside the chasna, I was waiting for the dancing to start, I was talking to a third alum, who's obviously a couple years ahead of the first two. He's already, he got married already, and he just had his bechor. So we're talking about looking forward to the pinyon ben, which is a special nachas, so he pulled the sons of Talmudim. So we're talking about when the baby was born. So he said the baby was born, Beis HaShemashos, Tuesday evening, a couple weeks ago. Between Tuesday and Tuesday night. It was a few minutes after sunset. So, a suffix, either it's a Tuesday baby or it's a Wednesday baby. So the Braisa says, Matilan oso l'chomer shneyamim. You have to be machmer in both directions. Maybe it's a Tuesday baby, maybe it's a Wednesday baby. So, you can't do the... You have to assume it might only be a Wednesday baby. Maybe by the time the baby was born, that was very cold Wednesday. Wednesday is very cold night. So, if Wednesday is day one, then 4 weeks later, Wednesday is day 29. Thursday is day 30, and Friday will be day 31. That's going to be the... If it was a Tuesday baby, we could do the pinyan ben on Thursday. But since it's a suffix, whether it's a Tuesday baby or a Wednesday baby, so it's a suffix whether day 31 for the pinyan ben is Thursday or Friday. I'm not making this up. This is actual conversation.
What about the bris?
Very good question. Excellent question. Chaim asked how about the bris. So the bris actually is a Mishnah. The Mishnah in the 19th paragraph of Masechet Shabbos, paragraph Elazar de Mila, which is the main address in Shas for Hilchas Mila. There's a fair amount of Hilchas Mila in Yevamos as well, but certainly Mishnayos, the main address is in paragraph Elazar de Mila, Masechet Shabbos. So the Mishnayos there say, a baby was born, like that scenario, Tuesday going into Wednesday, so you cannot make it a Tuesday bris, you have to make it a Wednesday bris, because to do it a day later is far better than doing it a day earlier. If you do the bris next week on Tuesday, it might be too early. It might be a day 7. And that might not be valid at all. So instead we, Matilo, so the Chomer Shnayom, very good question. They say, look, maybe it's Wednesday, so we'll wait until next week Wednesday to do the bris. The Mishnah actually also says, just to get you thinking about this, Mishnah says, how about if it's Beis HaShemashos of Friday night? Not Tuesday going into Wednesday, but Friday going into Shabbos. So Tuesday going to Wednesday. Next week you don't do it on Tuesday, you do it Wednesday. How about Friday going into Shabbos? So we're not going to do it next week Friday, because maybe it's a Shabbos baby. So should we do it next week Shabbos? Also not. Because you're allowed to do Mila Docha Shabbos if it's Bizmana. The baby was born on Shabbos, and next week you do the bris on Shabbos. But if a baby was born on a Tuesday, but for health reasons, the bris had to be pushed off a few days, and the first day you have clearances on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. Mila is only docha Shabbos if it's a mila bizmana. So here, it's actually a suffix bizmana.
How about
Yantid? A second. Here's a suffix bizmana, because we're not sure if the baby was born Beis HaShemashos Friday Shabbos. I don't know, is it a Friday baby? Is it a Shabbos baby? So I can't do it on Friday because maybe it's too early, but I can't do it on Shabbos because maybe it was a Friday baby, and doing it on Shabbos would be meal shalom b'zman on Shabbos is not allowed, so in that case you actually push it to Sunday. Yantiv also, the Mishnah actually says, if it's Yantiv, you may have to end up pushing off more days. So that's this din again of Beis HaShemashos, the physical concept, the astronomical concept of Beis HaShemashos. It is twilight, it's sort of light and sort of dark, and halachically, it has a unique halachic status. It might be day, it might be night, it might be half and half. And therefore, you got to be machmir in both directions. And then the Mishnah, Bryce asked us the second question. Now that we spoke halachic status, let's define our terms. When is it? Ve'ezehu beinash rashos. So which is been at what point in time? I mean, especially if you go camping, if you're out of the light pollution of the city, so you know that the whole process, as the sun gets closer to setting, it begins to get a little darker outside. If you're in a natural location, there are no streetlights going on. It just keeps getting slowly darker and darker and darker. And there are all sorts of interesting colors going on in the sky. And it gets darker and darker, and the stars begin to come out, and more stars and more stars. And finally, a good hour, two or three after sunset, you look up at the sky. If you're in a rural setting, there are thousands of stars in the sky. It went from zero to a few to thousands. So the Bryce says, well, where do you cut it? What's the beginning of Be'ish Mashas? What's the end of Be'ish Mashas? The Bryce says, the beginning is Mishatishka HaChama, from when the sun sets. Pashat Pshat, that's what the words mean. Mishatishka HaChama, from sunset, that's when Be'ish Mashas starts. And then here, in this Bryce, the Tanam begin to first talk about like different things you see in the sky. It gets dark here, it gets dark there. Hichsef Ha'elyon, Hichsef HaTachton, which Rashi defines as when the bottom of the sky gets dark, when the top of the sky gets dark. And then the Brisa goes on to say maybe it has to do with a period of time. And if you skip down to the bottom...
Wait, Rabbi, when does
Be'ish Mashas
start?
That the Brisa is clear about. Misha Tishka HaCham. From when the sun sets until the Brisa starts giving different suggestions of what the different Tanam, different opinions, at what point does the Be'ish Mashas end? If you skip down to the... They said some talk about the darkness in the sky. It's Hichsef Tachton, Hichsef Elyon. The bottom of the sky getting dark, the top of the sky getting dark. And then you move down, then other Tanam talk about an amount of time after sunset. And that's what the Amoraim pick up on. If you go to the bottom of Lamed Aleph Beis, the Machlok is Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba and Yosef are contemporaries. They're both quoting Rav Yehuda, quoting Shmuel. Here we go, Itmar, around 10 lines to the bottom of Lamed Aleph Beis. De Itmar, the Amorah, we have a statement from Ram as follows. Shir Ben Hashmashas Dakama. What's the Shi'ur of Ben Hashmashas? What's the length of time that we're in Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila? So Rabba and Rav Yosef argue. Rab, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yosef, Yud, Amar Shmuel. Rabba, because name of Yud, name of Shmuel. Shlosha Chelke Mil. Three fractions of a mil. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, my Gimel Chelke Mil. What do you mean? Three over X. Three over what? The Gemara says, well, it can't be Ilay Metosa Palge Mil. If it means three over two, three halves of a mil, there's a much easier way to say that. Neima, just say Mil Umechza. Say one and a half. I have to say three halves. Okay, so it can't be that. So what type of fraction? Hello, let's do the next option. Tlasa Tilse Mila. Maybe it's three Shlishim, three thirds of a mil. Yeah, but there's a much easier way to say three thirds, and that is what? Name a mil, just say a mil. Okay, Talasa Rive Mila. Let's say three quarters. Okay, so that's the position of Rabba. The extent, the length of Bein Hashmasha, the length of time of this period, that Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, is three quarters of a mil. And it appeared to be starting at sunset for three quarters of a mil. And Rav Yosef says a little different. Rav Yosef, of course, named Rabbi Yehuda, named Shmuel, not three fractions, three parts, but two parts. What does that mean? Shnei Chelkei Mil. My Shnei Chelkei Mil. Again, could it be two halves? Trei Palgei Mil, just say one. El Trei Rivei Mil, you mean two quarters? Say half. Le Machatzi Mil. It must be Trei Tilsei Mil. Two thirds. The Mil, the Gemara goes on to point out the difference between two thirds and three quarters is a 12th. It's not incredibly significant. Talk about it in a minute or two. Because, by the way, what's a mil? Two-thirds of a mil, three-quarters of a mil. What's a mil? A mil is really a measure of distance, not time. A mil is 2,000. It's related to the word mile. A little bit less than a mile. A little bit less than a modern English mile.
Maybe it's around a
mile. Yes, exactly. It's around two-thirds, three-quarters of a mile, which is approximately a kilometer. That's right. That's right, Kain. It's 2,000 ounces. So, but we're using a mil the same way in light years you use a measurement of time to give you distance. Here in reverse, we're using a distance to give you time. The amount of time it would take an average person to walk, to hike, a mil, which is usually assumed to be based on Shumas Hadesha in 18 minutes. That's usually you assume a milah. Some based on Shuras Hadeshin, some say it means 22 and a half minutes. The Rambam says 24 minutes. Okay, usually it, for purpose of simplicity, the Mishnah Berurah always talks about a mil being 18 minutes. So that means that the Reb Yosef said that the amount of time that's being on Shmosha, that Safik Yom Safik Lila, is 12 minutes, two-thirds of a mil, two-thirds of 18 minutes. And Rabba said three-quarters of 18 minutes is 13 and a half minutes. Okay. So we have, what do we have? So you have a Brisa that says something called Be'na Shmashas. And the Brisa said Be'na Shmashas begins, this time of Safik begins at Shkia, and it runs for some period of time. We paskin like Rabba runs for three-quarters of a mil. Then the Gemara wraps up the sugya on Lamed Heyamid Beis by talking about what marks the end of this period of time. And the Gemara says, on the top of Lamed Heyamid Beis, again, it's Rabba and Rav Yosef were quoted with Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Here's more of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Ko chadachad yom, shnayim ben hashmasha, shlosha layla. This is the source that three kochavim is called layla. Tell you have another bright, tell you not miyachi. Shmuel said it, the Brisa said it. Shlosha, three stars, makes night. This is Tzeis HaKochavim. We say, not super big stars, and not incredibly tiny stars, Beinonim, average-sized stars. And indeed, astronomers do have a system for grading the size, the magnitude of different stars, not based on how large they actually are, millions of light years away, but in terms of how large they look to us, how bright they look, how large they look. So what do we have, Rabbi Yosef? Now let's put, and then we'll take some, we're going to wrap up, and I'm glad to stick around for questions, but what do we have? Three pieces, again, there's a whole long sugya, but just for simplicity, I tried to pull out surgically three pieces of the Bein HaShmasha sugya in Masach HaShabbos. What the if you put the pieces together, what emerges is that there's a time called Bein HaShmashos. What emerges from the Sugya Masech HaShabbos, there's a time called Bein HaShmashos. The halacha recognizes twilight as a time during which is Safik Yom Safik Laila. We have to imachem in both directions. I've been talking before the Pinyin Haben and the Bris and Shabbos. Right? We don't do malacha on Friday starting before sunset, but on the other end, 24 hours later, we don't start doing Malachar after sunset. We wait for the end of Bein HaShmashos. And what is this Bein HaShmashos? It starts at Shkia. It runs for a period of time. Three quarters of a mil, we seen the Paskin. And it ends with Tzeis HaKochav. Right, that's what the Gemara said, Lamed Yehamid Beis. Lamed Dalamed Beis, we heard that the beginning of Bein HaShmashos is Shkia. On Lamed Heyamid Beis, we learned that the end of Bein HaShmashos is Tzeis HaKochavim. That's Bein HaShmashos. From Shkia to Tzeis. You've heard it so many times. From Shkia to Tzeis, right? From sunset until the stars come out. 1 second. So, before sunset, you put the pieces together in Masech HaShabbos, it's very clear. Before sunset, it's not Vaday Day. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it's already nighttime. Before Tzeis HaKochavim is Bein HaShmashos. Beferish, Shabbos Lamed Heyamid Beis, Bein HaShmashos runs up until Tzeis HaKochavim, until three stars. Beferish and Shabbos Lamed Dalamed Heyamid Beis, that during the time of Bein HaShmashos, which we just learned precedes Tzeis HaKochavim, it's Safik Yom, Safik Laila. That's the clear output of the Sugya in Shabbos. And then we come here to Psachim Daf Beis. It says, the Gemara so casually, nonchalantly, says, oh yeah, up until Tzeis HaKochavim is day. So we're just going to reject the second shot in the pasuk. What? Who? What? When? Where? Really? Kaimalon? At Tzeis HaKochavim Yimama? Really? Is that so clear? Not clear at all. Tosis already raises this question. Other Rishonim raise it, and Rav Elchanan sharpens it. The opening piece in Kovet Shiurim, he points out that again, Tosis may have their own take on some other issues, which we'll maybe get to at some other time. The famous Rabbeinu Tam issue, Rav Chaim points out, this is a very sharp, direct question. A direct steer. Before Tetzel Chachamim is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Before Tetzel Chachamim is Vaday Laila. Something is awry. We need to make sense of this. In order to do that, we're going to start to look more deeply at the Sugya of Tetzel of Banish Rashis itself. There are other kashas in the Gemara and Shabbos Kishel La'atzmo. And we're going to see other Gemaras that also we're going to expand in the Mar Makomas. They're marked Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Other sugyas that also don't seem to always assume like the simple picture of Masech Shabbos that from Shkia to Tseis is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. There's a lot going on. We're going to find more kashas before we come to an approach that will hopefully tie everything together. I'm glad to hang around for kashas. I'm glad to hang around for Zoomer kashas. I'm glad to hang around for Communer kashas.